You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
So good to see you guys this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We are starting a new chapter today. Every Saturday night before we go to bed, we have our family devotion time, and I always read the passage that we're going to read. And so I was saying, hey, we're starting chapter 11, and they were asking, so how many chapters are in the book of Hebrews? And I said 13, and I said, hey, we're getting close. And one of my kids is like, man, I'm going to be sad when Hebrews is over. And that was really good for me to hear. Hebrews has been such a great, great, deep, deep book. Such great truth. And that's what I pray for us this morning. That's what I pray for you guys, that God's word would be clear, that it would be louder and more clear than all the stuff that we hear every day from all other parts. And all those things that are not of Christ, that this will rise to the top this morning, that the gospel will penetrate your hearts, that'll be deep inside of you, and it will change you, that it will show you truth this morning, that God's word is powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So I pray that for us this morning. And I pray that you'll be encouraged and convicted and challenged. And as we think about, as our eyes drift, we think about how quickly we fall and we move over here away from Christ. And so we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. So let's just get into this, and it's exciting as we start chapter 11. So I want you to picture this scene with me. A visitor at the church, maybe they've been coming for a little while. They've been listening to the word being taught, and then been listening to the word being preached. And they keep hearing these churchy words like grace and sanctification, salvation, atonement, and this word faith. And so after a service, the church person comes to me, this visitor, and says, okay, I keep hearing these words, and I have a question. What is faith? And so I said, hey, let's go talk in my office. So we walk down the hall to my office, and we sit down, and I pull out my Bible, and guess where I'm going to go? I'm going to go to where we're going to be this morning. I'm going to pull out Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3, and we're going to talk about what faith is. And most likely, you guys would start here too, those of you that have been believers for a while, and someone says, well, what is faith? And we would probably come to this verse. And many of us know this verse, and we look to this verse, and we say, this is a great definition, this is a great description of what faith is. And so this morning, that's what we're asking. We're asking the question, what is faith? And so many of us would say, well, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's a powerful verse. It's one of those coffee mug verses, isn't it? It's one of those verses that are deep, they're powerful. It's one of those verses that are screaming to us, memorize me, memorize me. You should know me. That's what this verse is saying. And so I'm excited as we dig into this chapter, as we begin to understand the nature of faith, the description of faith, the definition of faith. And we're going to be looking at many examples of men in the Old Testament and examples of people in the Old Testament that lived by faith. They put their faith in the God of the universe. So let's pray this morning, and we ask Him to speak to our hearts. Lord, we love You. We thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You so much for loving us so very much that You provided a way to salvation, a way to be cleaned up, a way to be forgiven, a way to be freed from the bondage of sin. And You took that sin and You went to the cross and You died for us on the cross. But then You did not stay dead. You rose from the grave. You defeated death. You did the work for us. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth and the power of Your word. I pray that we would listen to it, that You would open our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would be in this place, it would speak to our hearts, it would challenge us and convict us and encourage us and bring comfort. And I pray for those that do not know you, that are wandering, that are lost. I pray that you would speak to them, call to them, save them. So, Lord, we are excited to open your word, excited to understand more about what faith is. Teach us this morning. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So look at Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to look at verse 1 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 says this: Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We were reminded last week that as believers, we are to endure in our faith. We are to persevere. We are called to not shrink back, because believers, we have Christ, and we are to stand strong in our faith, shining the light of Jesus to this lost world by living out our faith right here in the present. And how do we do this? We do this with confidence, right? That's how we walk by faith. We walk in confidence right here in the present. We have perseverance, and we do this by faith. Faith is everything. Faith is what we need for salvation, but it's also what we need to live out the Christian life. We saw in those previous verses that God had reminded Habakkuk that the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous don't shrink back. That's kind of one of those things that really hit me as I was studying the last couple of weeks. As believers, we don't shrink back. But we're seeing a lot of believers over the last few years shrinking back in their belief and their conviction and their faith. But believers don't shrink back. They live by faith. Let me tell you this story. This story was about a man, and he was standing on the bridge. He was standing on a bridge, and he was ready to jump off. He felt that he had nothing to live for. A police officer happened to be driving by, and he saw this man, and so he stopped and he approached the man carefully, and he said to them, "You don't want to do this." And the police officer said, "Well, you don't know how miserable I am." So the police officer made a deal with him. He said, "Come down," he said, "you take 5 minutes and give me your reasons why life is hopeless and not worth living, and then I'll take 5 minutes and give my reasons why I think life is worth living for both you and for me. And if at the end of those 10 minutes you still feel like jumping, I won't stop you." So the man came down, he took his 5 minutes, and then the officer took his 5 minutes, and then they stood up, joined hands, and jumped off the bridge. That's not a true story, okay? Here's the point. That's supposed to be humorous. I hope it was a little bit. But here's the serious truth. What they both realized, they didn't have Christ. What that shows is both of them didn't have God as the center of their life. If God is factored out of life, you know what? There's no hope. There's no hope. There's no joy. And I say this all the time, and I see it all the time in the ministry, and I've seen it for 25 years in the ministry, and I say this phrase all the time: I don't know how people get through any of life without Christ. I don't know. I go to the hospitals, I go to those that are mourning the loss of someone, I go to someone that's lost their job, I go to someone that has struggled in some season, whether it's depression or anxiety or whatever it is, and I look at them, I'm like, I don't know how you get through anything without Jesus. There is hope in Christ. There is true joy in Christ. And I try to explain this. It's not just that we're always happy and giddy and laughing all the time, but there in Jesus Christ, there's this deep, profound joy that only comes through Christ. There's this peace that we don't even understand that is only through Christ. Now, non-believers, those that don't have God, they put on a pretty good show, don't they? They really do. Oh, we've got it all together. We're intelligent. We're hardworking. We're successful. Everything's great. But all of their hope is tied up in feelings. It's tied up in stuff. It's tied up with things working out. Well, as long as things are working out, I feel good. There's joy. It's tied up in the money that they have. But all of that stuff is fleeting. It will all pass away. And that is why I believe there are many that can't stand the quiet, those that are non-believers, when you really get them down, when you really get them to a quiet place, when you get all the noise around, a lot of times that's at nighttime when they're laying down in bed, putting their head on the pillow, and it's finally quiet. That's when the anxiety and the doubt and the stress and the worry all comes crashing down like a waterfall. There's that emptiness inside that they know there's something missing. And that's when the pretending stops. That's when all those things come at them. And this is why those who go through a tragedy, a trial, a sick loved one, this is why those people are so sensitive to the gospel. Because at those moments, they're hopeless, they're helpless. And they know that there's something more out there. And that something more is Jesus Christ. They're looking for hope. And here's the good news for believers. As believers, as those that have followed the Lord, that have made Christ the Lord of their life, that have responded to the gospel and the faith that he gives us, those of us who are believers, guess what? We actually have hope. We have hope. We live by faith. We don't shrink back. We endure. We persevere. We shine the banner of Christ. We have beautiful feet as we go into the world proclaiming Christ. We are a sweet aroma to the sick and filthy world broken by sin. The righteous shall live by faith. So we ask the question this morning, so what is faith? What is faith? And verses 1 through 3 give this beautiful description of the nature of faith. And we're going to look at verse 1 this morning. How does verse 1 describe the nature of faith? The first thing is this. Faith is an assurance of things hoped for. So faith is, what is faith? Faith is an assurance. Faith for the believer is a certainty. I want you to hear these words this morning. Faith is a guarantee. This could be translated, faith guarantees what a believer hopes for. Does that make sense? Faith, our faith that is a gift from God, God gives us that faith. Our faith is a guarantee for what believers hope for. Faith is not a feeling. It's not just optimism. As some false teachers say, it's not just positive thinking. That's not what it is. Faith for a believer is a solid conviction. It is a dynamic certainty. Faith is a confidence. We've already seen this word that he uses here, the writer of Hebrews, back in Hebrews 3:14. He says this, "For we have come to share Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Faith is a confidence. It's a certainty of what we already hope for. The King James Version translates the word assurance as substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith gives us substance to our hopes. Isn't that cool? And when we really dig into that and what this looks like, we're going to see later in this chapter people like Noah or Abraham, Moses, who lived by faith. They had substance to their faith. Their faith was certain. You'd have to have a lot of certainty in your faith to build a big boat, right? When there was no rain. You ever just kind of go back and wonder the jokes that Noah endured? It probably started as jokes, then it kind of became persecution. Because then when they started asking, why are you doing this? It's like, well, God's going to judge you. I mean, when you start telling the truth, that becomes persecution. Can you imagine Abraham? Those of you that have children, can you imagine taking your son to go sacrifice him? I mean, we read the stories, but those men, their faith was certain. They had substance to their faith. They had a solid foundation to the things that they hope for. And so my question to us this morning, the question that I deal with as I study for these sermons, the question that I'm asking us this morning is this. Is your faith certain? Is your faith an assurance, a guarantee to the things that you hope for? Because when it is, you don't shrink back, do you? You shine the light of Jesus. If your faith is wishy-washy and it's filled with doubts and anxieties, you don't know what you believe, you're drifting over here, you're far away from Christ, then you're scared. You shrink back. You don't know what you believe in. People come at you and say, well, what do you believe? I don't know. But for the believer, where faith has been given to them as a gift from God, believers, their faith is confidence. It's a guarantee for what you already hope for. It's an assurance. And that gives us strength to stand for Jesus Christ. Like I said last week, do you know what this world needs? It needs believers to stand for Jesus. It needs believers to show what true hope is. It needs believers to not shrink back anymore, but share the love of Jesus Christ, to share that the way to salvation is through Christ alone. So the question is this: is your faith certain? So if this is an assurance or a guarantee of what we hope for, we need to ask the question, what do believers hope for? How does the believer, the righteous, how do we live by faith? How does the believer... the believer's hopes are certain. There's certain things in the future that we hope for. And for the believer, those hopes become present right now. Our hope in the future is lived out by our faith in the present. So what are our hopes? And you should probably write these down. You should write these hopes down because this is just doctrine. It's just truth. You should write these references down. What do you hope for? What does a believer hope for? First of all, a believer hopes for Christ's return. We believe that, don't we? We hope for Christ's return. So our faith is a guarantee. Our faith is given to us, and it guarantees this hope that we have for Christ's return. And so we live out that hope. We live out that faith right now with confidence. Titus 2:13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe this. Our hope and our faith guarantees this hope. We are excited and wait for the coming of our Lord, that he's going to return. And guess what? It did not happen yesterday. Okay, so you guys are good. All right? We don't know when that's going to be, do we? We don't know the hour. We don't know when. But we pray that God would be patient so more and more people will come to know Christ, right? So we need to be using this time to shine the light of Jesus, to tell others about Christ. But one way that we have confidence, one way that we have faith, that we live by faith, because that faith is a guarantee of what we hope for in Christ coming back, is one of our hopes. A second thing that believers hope for is for the resurrection. We know that Christ was resurrected, and so now we hope for our resurrection because we are in Christ. We are excited about that, aren't we? Excited about eternity with Jesus. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our faith is an assurance of this hope. And that guarantee, that substance, gives us strength and confidence to live out our faith in Jesus Christ. Believers hope for Christ's return. Believers hope for the resurrection. A third thing that believers hope for is for glorification. 1 John 3, 2-3. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. We are excited about being like Christ, right? Becoming like him. Now, we are in Christ now in this broken world, but we are still growing and becoming more like him. But someday, when we're with him for eternity, we're going to be just like him. We're going to be made like him. We're going to be glorified. That's exciting. That's one of our hopes. And our faith is an assurance, a guarantee of the things that we hope for. A fourth thing is believers hope to reign with Christ. Revelation 22:5. And night will be no more, and they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Believers are going to reign with Christ for eternity. That is a hope. And so we look to that hope and we say, that is what I believe in. And the faith that we have is a guarantee of that. It's a substance of that. And so that becomes present to us right here in the midst of this craziness of this world. And so we live out that hope by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. So we see all these hopes. We see this guarantee. So why do so many believers, why are we shrinking back? Why are we so scared? We need to put our eyes on Jesus, don't we? We need to get our eyes off all the stuff, all the lies and the deceit. What is Satan? The great what? Deceiver. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. God warned us of that. He said, Satan is the great deceiver. Oh, and by the way, all he wants to do is destroy you. All he wants to do is roam around the world and destroy you. He is the great deceiver. And why does that come at us and like, whoa, I don't know why we got so deceived. Well, it's because Satan is the great deceiver. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to be in the Word of God. We have to know truth. And guess what? You're going to read something in here. And you're going, that's what Christ says. That's what God commands. This is how he designed the family. This is how what he says about this, this, and this. And guess what? You bring your eyes up, and the world is going to tell you something different. Because Satan is a liar, and he's going to tell you something different. So what are you going to do? You're going to shrink back. Oh, I don't know what I believe. I don't know. I guess you're right. Or are you going to stand strong in your faith? Are you going to have confidence in what you believe? Are you going to have confidence in your hopes? Are you going to have confidence in the Word of God? Are you going to remember? Are you going to go back and go, oh, yes, I do. I recall the times that God showed me very clearly that he worked in my life. I recall how when I followed his ways, things were right and good because those were his ways and I followed his ways. Are you going to recall those times? Are you going to let that give you strength? Are you going to look to the hope that you have in Christ and then live that out because that faith is a guarantee? It's a confidence. It's an assurance. You see, the believer's faith, when I say believer, I'm talking about followers of Jesus, those who have been saved by grace in Christ alone. Believers, true believers, the believer's faith is certain. It is guaranteed. It's an assurance. It's an assurance that these things that we hope for, the return of Christ, the resurrection, our glorification, reigning with him, that these things become present to us right now. And guess what that does? Here's the good news. Those things, when we believe in Jesus, when we follow Christ, when we look to that and we understand that that faith is an assurance of those things, that faith, guess what it does? It brings us joy right now. Like, how do you have joy in all this craziness in the world? Because that joy is deep. That joy is in those things that we hope for. For the righteous shall live by faith. This assurance brings us strength to live for Christ right now, to endure, to persevere. D.L. Moody said this. He said, faith gives us living joy and dying rest. Not only is it an assurance of things hoped for, it's a guarantee, a substance, a confidence of things hoped for, but it's also the conviction of things not seen. Look at the second half of that verse. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And this really carries the same truth. It just kind of carries it on, but it takes it out farther. It implies a response to the truth. You see, the believer has an inward assurance. We have an inward confidence. And so what do? We live it. We go live it out. We therefore live out this conviction of the things that we cannot see. There's a boy, and he was in a park, and he was flying this kite, and the passerby came by, and he looked up in the sky, and he couldn't see the kite because it was into the clouds. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying my kite." He said, "How do you know it's there? You can't see it." He said, "Well, I can feel the tug on the string." You see, perhaps we can't see God in the flesh, but for the believer, we feel the tug of conviction on our hearts, don't we? We feel the tug of the Holy Spirit. We feel and understand the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life, guiding us, comforting us. We feel that conviction. And we look back on the things he has done. We feel the guidance that he's given us. We feel the Holy Spirit in the present. We as believers have conviction of our faith. And so we respond to that conviction. And then we live out our faith with confidence. See, it's belief. It's faith. And then it's action. It's responding to that and going and living it out. Again, you think about Noah. God said, "Do this." And in his mind, he had to go do it. He had to believe God and know that people are going to think I'm an idiot. But I'm going to respond to that conviction in my heart, respond to the guidance of God, to the voice of God, and I'm going to go do it. That took conviction. He had to trust God. He took action. He lived out his conviction of the things that he could not see. He lived out his faith. Those who are lost, those who are not followers of Christ, those without Jesus, cannot comprehend this spiritual faith. And that's why it seems crazy to them. That's why it seems stupid. That's why it seems pointless. The lost have no spiritual understanding. But God gave everyone a sense of faith. At least in the natural world, we all have faith at some point, right? Did you sit down in that chair? Did you think about that chair? Did you think of whether it was going to hold you or not? Did you have any questions? Did you come in? No, but we've got some engineers, so maybe they did. I don't know. But most of us, we just come in and we sit down, don't we? We have some sort of faith. Don Jackson's had his whole knee replaced on Friday. We were at the hospital, and Garrett came up there with me, and we talked to his son. We sat out in the waiting room. We didn't really think much. We just kind of had faith that the doctor was back there doing what he does, right? And he would come out. It's like, everything's going great. Like, well, that's what we thought. I mean, we had faith in that. People have faith in their surgeons and their doctors. We have some sort of faith in our government. I mean, we do. We're still here. We're still living in America, right? You're still paying your bills. You're still paying the IRS. I mean, we have some sort of faith in this paper money that we carry around, or digital money, or whatever. I mean, we have some sort of, I mean, people, God created a capacity of faith in all of us. But for the believer, our faith, we have faith in spiritual things, things that we cannot see, things that we cannot understand. But what is different about spiritual faith is that this spiritual trust, it comes from God. And that's how we do it. Because God gives it to us. Isn't that cool? Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing." It's not of our own doing. It is a gift of God. What does that mean? God's grace is a gift, but also the faith that we have in him for salvation, and then the things that we hope for, that's a gift from God. And so the believer, we have that faith, this gift, and we have confidence in Jesus, don't we? We have confidence that Christ is real. We have confidence that he's coming back. We have confidence that we're going to be with him forever, that we're going to be more like him, that we're going to be resurrected, that we're going to be glorified, that we're going to reign forever. We have confidence in that. Our faith is an assurance of those things. Our faith is a substance of those things. And then we have the conviction of those things that we cannot see. And so we go and we respond and we live it out. Faith is a certainty. Faith is a guarantee. Faith is an assurance of the things we hope for. Christ's return. The resurrection. Our glorification. Our reign with Christ for eternity. It's also a deep deep conviction within us of the things that we can't understand, the things that we cannot see, but we know it is there, and so we respond by living it out here in the present. So I ask this question again. Do you know this faith? Do you have this faith? Because religion in itself does not give us that faith. Okay? Understand that. Just coming to church, coming into a building, owning a Bible, wearing your K-Love t-shirts, putting bumper stickers on your car, going to classes, that does not give you faith. A relationship with Jesus is what gives you faith. It's only in Christ. Christ, it's a gift from God. It's grace. It's a gift that's been given to us so that we have the faith for salvation. Religion in itself, there's lots of religions out there. I'm asking you a very pointed question. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Has your life been changed by the gospel of Jesus? Following Christ is not easy. We want it to be easy, don't we? But I'm sorry, we are living in a time that it is going to get harder and harder. And that's not to scare you. It's just reality. It's scripture. I was thankful that I'm still driving up here and that we can meet together. I'm thankful for that. I praise God for that. And I pray that God would continue to give us more and more times of freedom that we can do that. Is your faith confident? Do you know Jesus? Because following Christ is not easy. Following Christ is dying to oneself. It's taking up the cross. But the good news, it is a freeing of us from the bondage of sin. That's incredible. It is moving from death to life. It is an adoption into the family of God. It is a life that is now a new creation. And so we praise Jesus and we say, thank you, Jesus. Jesus is better. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for faith. Thank you that is a gift so that we can't boast about it, but thank you that faith for believers, for followers of Christ, those who have believed on the name of Jesus, that in that new creation in Jesus Christ, you've given us a faith that is an assurance. It's a guarantee of those things that we hope for. It's also a conviction of the things that we can't see, that we can't understand, but because of that guarantee, we respond by living out that conviction in our life. And so I pray that we would truly look at our hearts, that we would ask, do we truly know Jesus? Are we just following a religion, or are we following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I pray that anyone in here that is worried, that is constantly worried, that is constantly anxious, that is constantly doubting, I pray that you would call to them and get a hold of them. Work in their hearts and say, is your faith confident? Is it truly in Jesus Christ? And maybe for some of us as believers, we can look back and say, I know I'm a believer, I know I'm a follower, but I have been shrinking back. I have been doubting, I have been drifting over here, I have not kept my eyes on Jesus. I've been focusing on things of this world, I've been focusing and listening to the lies of Satan, the great deceiver. Lord, bring my eyes back focused on you. Let your words be louder and more clear. And maybe we need to respond just in a simple act of humility and saying, Lord, I desire to keep my eyes focused on you. Because what you promise is a faith that is confident, a faith that is a guarantee, a faith that has substance of those things that we hope for. So let us stand and shine and wave the banner of Jesus Christ to a world that is just needing hope. They need a Savior. Let us pray that we would be that church, that light. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us this morning? So we come to a time of reflection, a time of response. Sometimes our response is simply coming and kneeling, humbling ourselves and praying. Would you come? If you need someone to pray for, I will be up here. If you need someone to talk to, we will find someone that you can talk to about salvation in Christ alone. If you're feeling that call, if you're feeling just needing to come and have someone pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. But let's sing, let's praise, let's respond with our voices as we think about Christ being better. Let's praise him and thank him through song, and let's praise him as we respond. Are there any men here that are willing to come and grab a younger man and say, I'm going to pray for you because I love you. You're in my family, the family of God. Is there any older women that are willing to step out and go grab a younger lady and say, I'm going to pray for you? Are we going to come? Are we going to fight sin together? Are we going to disciple each other? Because that's where the roots grow deep and deep, and that's what bears fruit. Let's sing together. Let's worship.